Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to compete while exploring the best way to wager for casual cappers. And we have a bit of a competition on our hands, Mark, in that we both hit our credibility picks, taking sure things on Monday night. We ate a little bit of juice, but they weren't even close. And for anybody who parlayed them together, we suggested they got a cool 190, while both of us were cashing in that like minus 150, minus 170 range. But we neither of us expected a shootout. That was a hell of a game on Monday night. What did you think?
Yeah. Jake Browning looked like Joe Burrow.
He looks like Joe Burrow. Wish Joe Burrow looked this year. I think it's the best performance by a Bengals quarterback we've seen since last season.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how mobile he was. I mean, he was getting out there, man. He was scampering and kept going. I was like, oh, he's not going to slide. He's still going. But they had a good game plan. They made things simple for him. And I think also the Jags made the mistake of defending Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one on that go ball. They're like, because Joe Burrow hasn't seen that all year. He's not getting one-on-one coverage for Ja'Marr Chase. I guess they were like, well, it's Jake Browning. We can just send extra guys on the blitz, and we can leave Ja'Marr Chase on an island with our corner, and they got burnt.
Yeah, well, it's nice to cover a bet in one catch, and I'll take it. You needed, what, 3 receptions from Mixon? You got a bunch more than that. Like, that was – you got the check down exactly right. So, well read, well done to us. Our other bets are kind of still pending right now. We have the Lakers-Suns still to be tipped here at record time, but we had to go a little bit early for schedules. So we'll give you a report on that later in the week. We're going to end up within a couple units of each other based on that game. I missed my Brunson bet because Brunson missed a free throw and then got immediately subbed out of the game. I could not have been angrier, but what are you going to do? All right. So, Mark, before we jump into this week's bets, I wanted to ask you a question. We've got this in-season tournament that we're both really excited about. We're down to 5 teams, and everybody's about to get on the plane to Vegas. So I was thinking about it. Do you think there's a chance that this Vegas tournament actually becomes the catalyst for increased trade activity? Is it going to turn into like what the winter meetings are for baseball, where like everybody flies into some event, and because they're all together, just natural conversations occur, and it results in a lot of deals getting done, whether it's trades or future contracts? And like, it might not be every GM in the league. It's going to be really interesting to see who's in Vegas, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of agents, a lot of media, a lot of players, a lot of the shadowy figures that like move these markets. And do you think we'll end up seeing more activity in January and February because of the central gathering place that really hasn't happened in seasons prior?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I mean, I've been at the Summer League in Vegas the last couple of years, and you know, you see all the GMs together and the coaches talking, you know, with their Honolulu suits, shirts on, and tank tops out there in the hot summer of Las Vegas during the summer league, watching rookies, the second year guys play. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's too far fetched to believe that, because it's all about relationships you have with these guys. And, you know, when you're in that environment, you know, you may have a dinner on the strip off a couple of cocktails, and you know, you might loosen up one of your GM buddies. You know what? I'll throw extra pick in there. Why not? Well, let's do it, man. Let's just get it done. We only live once.
I think we were all together at the Super Bowl last year when Durant news broke. That was like a massive ripple that ripped through. I think we were all together at like one of those like shindigs, and everybody's phone lit up at the same time. So that was interesting to watch. Yeah. Do you think that a player of, you know, Durant's caliber, top 5, 10, 20, wherever you're rating him these days, do you think any player at that level will move, or do you think it might be a quieter deadline, even though we're going to have all these movers and shakers together in Sin City?
Yeah, I don't see a big move of that caliber, but I think the biggest move you could see as far as the team name and a team that has won before and we're used to them winning to try to get back in contention is the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. And the player I'm looking at is Pascal Siakam. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Raptors. It's been rumored for the last year or so about them potentially making that kind of move to get him. And, you know, if you make that move, you probably have to get rid of like a Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, who's actually from Toronto. So, you know, right. You got the hometown narrative there for him. And then maybe like get off a Kuminga or Moses Moody, you know, because I think they made a mistake by re-upping Draymond Green. I was really surprised, honestly. I guess they were more loyal than I thought. I thought it was time to move on. I thought that ship has sailed, but they gave him that new contract and it's just not at all. This team is old. Klay Thompson is not the same guy. And Steph is just playing with a bunch of guys. He's playing with me and you out there right now. So, but they are in a position where you're still hovering around 500. You know, the league is still in a transition period where I feel like if you make a move like that, you can get back in contention right now. But I think they had to make that move like now. Like, I don't think you can't wait until February, because I think they could get too far behind in the standings to where that move wouldn't even matter for this year. So I think it's something you have to entertain in the immediate future.
Well, they're drifting towards the play-in right now, and so they're plus 1,300 right now. If they were to land Siakam and say it's Wiggins and or some rotation guys, but none of the core players that would play, you know, once they shorten it for the playoffs, would you think plus 1,300 was value? Like, would you speculate on that trade now? Or do you think even with Siakam, they're not going to come anywhere close to sniffing a ring this year? So that would be throwing money away.
I think it's worth a sprinkle. I think it's worth a sprinkle. Yeah. I mean, Pascal Siakam is a, what, top 20, top 25 player in the league. And if you add him, he's instantly your second best player. So I think that moves everybody down to where they naturally should be at this point in their career, where Klay Thompson should be a third option. And then Draymond Green should be like your fourth or fifth best player. I think it just kind of moves the pecking order to where it should be. So, yeah, I mean, it's worth the stab. When you got Steph Curry at the head of the snake and that championship pedigree, I do think it's worth it for that number. Just, a little sprinkle.
And you're out there in L.A., pretty close to the stadium, parking in Martin Weiss's house, so you'll be right by the new one. The Clippers, is there any chance you think that that goes so far south they blow it up and playoff P gets to play his playoff basketball somewhere else? Specifically, is there any world, and I haven't seen any speculation on this, you're more online than I am, is there any world that he goes back to the Thunder? Because the Thunder are a lot closer than everybody thinks they are.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if you're the Thunder, you kind of roll with what you got right now. I like what they're doing. The Clippers probably wish they still had SGA. because he's probably my favorite young, like 25 and under guy in the league. I love watching him play night in and night out. You know, you got him and Chet together. I mean, they're really, really a fun team to watch. The Baby Thunder are a thing again, man, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Are they a championship contender right now? I mean, probably not. I think typically in the NBA, we see it where you got to get to the playoffs first and you got to lose before you can win, right? So I think they'll get in there and, you know, maybe win a series, maybe at max, but the future is definitely bright where I wouldn't even want to mess with it at all right now.
Well, as good as they are right now, they have every asset in the world. They have more assets than they could ever actually use. And so if a top 10, 15 guy actually did shake loose, and we're talking about a league where that seems to happen every 3 or 4 months, there's the line starts behind the Thunder. And when you have SGA locked up and you have all these other young pieces that are playing way past their draft slots and what we thought they were going to be, I think they're a lot closer than people think they are. And so at plus 3,500, I would actually think that is more worthy of a sprinkle than Golden State, which is turning the wrong way on the age curve, et cetera, for a team that's on the come up. And if somebody does suddenly become unhappy, if it's Paul George or Dare to Dream, is it Luka Doncic or somebody like that, then they are absolutely the number one position to grab a guy who actually wants to win. Now, whether that guy wants to live in Oklahoma City, whole different question. But if they want to go after a ring, I mean, what better team to join right now outside of maybe the Celtics, who don't really have any trade assets?
Yeah. I mean, if you mentioned guys like a Luka, that changes everything. You're right. Paul George, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, he's still good. He's still really good, but the age and the injuries kind of concern me there. But yeah, I mean, 3,500. That's what it is.
3,500.
Right,
The other big 3,500 one to just, I always will keep an eye on them is the Heat. The Heat are plus 3,500 right now. If they could throw their hat into the Lillard ring, then they can put together a package to land like a Siakam level player, if not Siakam, but somebody at that level who a franchise wants to get off a contract or whatever it might be. And the Heat match up pretty decently with most of the contenders, right? Like they've always given the Celtics fits. They've got enough size to actually maybe have a shot against the Nuggets. And of course, Jimmy Buckets goes crazy during the playoffs. So at plus 3,500, that's another one I like above the Warriors at plus 1,300. So last one, Mark, for you before we get to our picks. You are a massive Lakers fan. The Lakers are currently sitting at plus 1,700. Are they going to make a move? And would that move change those odds considerably enough that we should be looking at investing in it now?
I really don't think they make a move, or at least not a move of significance. I know people have been floating around the Zach LaVine stuff. I don't see that happening whatsoever because you'll probably have to give up Austin Reeves. And I know how much they love Austin Reeves. I just don't see that happening. Maybe a smaller move with the Bulls. Maybe you bring back Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest move I could see. Bringing back him there, obviously a guy that's familiar with the Laker brand, playing with LeBron. He's a two-way guy, really, really gritty, good defender, can knock down the outside shot, and he could play make as well a little bit with the ball in his hands. So, and you would have to give up Austin Reeves to get Alex Caruso. You would have to mess up with your core to do that. So that's probably the biggest type of move I can see for a player of that caliber.
You don't think Caruso would move the odds, though, right? Like plus 1,700 is where the Lakers are going to sit regardless of personnel changes if it's an Alex Caruso level move.
Yeah, for sure. No, the odds wouldn't change at all.
Are you holding a Lakers ticket? Be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Some of you are going to say no so I can make fun of you for not backing your boys with your money as much as you do with your mouth.
I definitely am, 100%.
All right. Good to hear. Well, Timberwolves don't really have any assets to give up. Celtics and Nuggets, I don't see making a big move. Suns don't really have another move left to be made either. So I'm fascinated to see what happens from these conversations that are going to happen over the next week over blackjack tables and the quarters of clubs over bottle service or wherever they might be. But I just don't know what's going to happen. So I wanted to have the conversation in case you had some insight. I don't feel there's a great place to speculate in the market. Except for maybe on Thunder or Heat on conference odds. Because I just like we saw the Celtics get beat by the Pacers last night in a game that allegedly mattered. And they're the favorites in the entire league. Nuggets are struggling without Murray, and Murray has an injury that can linger. I actually feel like this is a great time to get down like middle to long shot bets. But I'm still trying to identify my favorite targets outside of player personnel or personnel moves.
What about Philadelphia if they try to go out there, Zach LaVine?
Plus 1,400. Would you make a move on that? Do you think LaVine actually makes them worthy of your dollars to win the title? Not just, you know, compete for it. You play the conference odds if you want on that. But to actually win the title with LaVine, I'm not sure I see it.
And the thing is, how do they get LaVine without giving up Tyrese Maxey? Is that a world where they can do that? Maybe a three-team trade?
Well, I would have to really think about that, but there's no world in which they acquire LaVine for Maxey. Maxey is better than LaVine on a wildly better contract.
Oh, yeah.
So it would have to be something else. It would have to be LaVine forcing a move, doing the sulking thing that NBA players have gotten really good at, and the Bulls mainly wanting to get off his contract. So I don't know what the Sixers have for cap gristle, but it'll probably have to be something
Tobias
like that.
Harris.
Some future picks. Yeah, there you go. Tobias Harris, future pick, a swap, whatever it might be.
Yeah. But yeah, outside of that, I don't really see. I mean, I heard Miami may be interested in LaVine as well, but I just don't know. I mean, is Hero, does that get it done? And some things, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the other way to look at it, is there a single team in the league that could reasonably acquire LaVine, like has any assets at all, but would actually change their championship odds? And I think the answer to that is zero. I'm not sure any team that acquires them and gives up, you know, the minimum amount to get them actually suddenly like makes a Durant-esque move where the Suns were, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like they moved from like minus 3,000 to minus 600 the day after that trade. I don't see anything like that possibly happening.
You don't think, you said the Heat are 3,500 right now. If the
3,500.
If he got LaVine, I think that number would definitely come down some, right?
Yeah, it just wouldn't. They wouldn't suddenly be a top four favorite.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because I mean, like LaVine is a little bit duplicitous to buckets in the playoffs. Like you're talking about a guy you can throw the ball to and get a score. They got Jimmy in that role already, and LaVine ain't doing much defensively, which is what really matters against like the Nuggets and the Celtics of the world when those games tighten up.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Cool. All right. Well, let's find something else to agree about, which is how good my picks are going to be tonight. We'll give Caesars a little bit of love, and then we'll come back with them right after this.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Mark, we are back to play Heart, Head, Heat, or Cred with our best ways for casual cappers to put on their wagers on a Wednesday night. So since I technically have the lead, my cred pick was on slightly shorter odds than you. I will go ahead and take honors. And you messed up my recording tonight, friend. You're the one who said that we needed to do it tonight. And that allows me to bet on midweek Premier League soccer, because these games kick off way too early if we recorded yesterday, tomorrow afternoon. But because we are recording tonight, I get to get in a pick. And I am going with my heart pick, my favorite team in the world, which is Chelsea Football Club. And I'm taking them over 0.5 on first half goals against Manchester United on Wednesday afternoon. That is minus 110. Chelsea have been on quite a scoring roll recently. They started the year really lagging behind their underlying metrics that said they should have scored a lot of goals and they were scoring no goals. That has reversed itself in the last 10 games or so. So this bet has hit 8 of the last 9. And the only game where it didn't hit, they actually got blank. So they didn't score at all. Manchester United is a bogey team for them, but is struggling defensively. I expect this to be an open matchup. Harry Maguire is one of the worst center backs that you will ever see from a power team playing in the Premier League. And Chelsea has a great chance to feast and feast early. So you put it all together and it's a hard pick because they are my favorite team and I would bet them blindly. I would follow them anywhere, but I would definitely follow them tomorrow on the over 0.5 first half goals.
Okay. Okay. I like that. I'm not mad at that at all. So for my heart pick, and I'm not sure if you noticed or not, but I'm one of the biggest Andrew Wiggins apologists in the world. You
are, yeah.
So I was super happy when he won that championship, and he was the second best player on that team during that run. But he has not been the second best player this year for the Warriors. He's been really, really underwhelming, to say the least. Where it comes from, he went to KU, obviously. I'm a big KU guy. From the Kansas City area. If you didn't know, maybe you didn't know. I was a kid from Kansas City. I'm not sure, but you know, rock chalk on that. But on my heart pick, he's going to play tomorrow. Most likely I saw he's missed the last couple games, but he's probable tomorrow. they're playing the Portland Trail Blazers, and I'm taking his over on points. It's 13 and a half. Got it at minus 131 at Caesars. He's only averaging 12.8 points per game this year. But in his last game, which was last Tuesday against the Kings, he had 29 points on 11 of 18 shooting. But before that, he went four straight games without clearing this number of 13 and a half. So he's been struggling a lot. But here's my thinking on this. They're big favorites against the Portland Trail Blazers. They're probably going to blow them out. But since this is his first game back in a week, I think even if they are blowing him out, they're going to give him some more run, try to build his confidence up, and keep him out there while Steph and the other guys are kind of chilling. That's kind of what a thing they've done before. And he's only 28 years old. He's one of the young guys on that roster compared to everybody else. So I think he definitely gets over this number, a good confidence booster, because they're going to need him. And then also, like I mentioned before, he could be potential trade bait.
Yeah, so showcase him a little bit.
Yeah, so if you're potential trade bait, why not showcase you against one of the worst teams in the league, you know, to kind of boost that value up a little bit. So I love this number at 13 and a half for Andrew Wiggins from my heart.
Yeah, and it's not just like stat stuff. Like, it's not just saying, oh, this is a guy who put up, you know, 25 in a game in December, but it's also demonstrating health, and it's demonstrating that it's not affecting his explosiveness or his ability to get to the rim or anything like that. Yeah. So I was thinking about failing that. I'm not going to lie, Mark, because I'm not as big into Maple Jordan as you are. But you made a very compelling case about the incentives for them to push him over this number. So I think it's just a stay away from me, but I wish you the worst of luck. For my head pick, I am going with George Pickens on this Thursday night suckfest. Over 40.5 receiving yards. 40.5 is the line for wide receiver one for the Steelers. This is minus 117. And I'm just following the same logic. This is like a mini heater for me that I did on
Chase. You're nasty for making a play on this game, by the way.
I feel compelled to. Am I really going to give out four picks and ignore the NFL? I think I'm going to get a call from Omaha if I do that. They're going to tell me to audible. So I got to give out something. And I'm going to follow that same Jamar Chase thread, you know, thinking that a wide receiver one of Pickens' talent is getting downgraded significantly just because of the quarterback. And that didn't work out so badly for the Bengals on Monday night. And it's not like it's that big of a downgrade. Let's be honest, for the Steelers. I mean, like, Kenny Pickett to anyone isn't exactly the same drop off that you're going to take from a Joe Burrow. So Pickens has been good this year. He's not been great, mainly because the balls are not always there for him, but he's still hitting this number in three of his last four. I think he can absolutely do it with Trubisky behind center. And the Patriots also are very weak, just like the Jaguars, against number one receivers. So they've given up over 40 yards, which is a very low number. So another reason I like this bet. But they've given up over 40 yards to wide receiver one in 11 out of 13 games. You want to know what's really hilarious, Mark? You would never guess the two receivers that missed this target against the Patriots. That would be your first team all pros, Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb, are the only two wide receiver ones to not clear this against the Patriots. So I have no idea what that says, but I doubt they will guard it. I doubt the Pickens will garner the same respect from Belichick as those guys do, leaving him open enough to clear this, especially when he can clear it in one play as a down the field specialist.
That is crazy. What a stat right there, man. Look at Toby doing his homework. I love it, man. So for my head play, I'm taking the Nets to cover the spread against the Hawks tomorrow night.
Okay.
Wednesday. It's +4 right now. The Brooklyn Nets, Toby, they are 14-4-1 against the spread. And do you know what the Hawks are against the spread?
Probably the other way. 4-14.
5-14 against the spread. Dead last in the league at covering against the spread. And the Nets are second, only behind the OKC Thunder, who are 15-4 against the spread. So you're giving me 4 points here for the Nets against a Hawks team that is very, very underwhelming, even though it's in Atlanta. But I don't care. They're 3-5 at home. Why would I care? Yeah. So I love this play. This is probably my favorite one.
God, you said I'm nasty for giving out that Thursday night game. Come on, man. You're betting December basketball on Nets Hawks on the spread? What are you doing?
I just couldn't pass it up. The data is just unbelievable there.
That's what the head pick's all about. You just got to follow the data. Even follows you into the dark world of Nets Hawks.
Yeah.
On the heater, as I said earlier, we are taping this in the middle of the Lakers Suns game. It's 25-21 with 2 minutes left. So right on pace for a pretty good return on the under, but that over definitely has a chance, 226. It certainly isn't decided either way. You're going to go over on one of the two semifinal games. Have you targeted which one you're going to do it yet?
Yeah, so for my over, I'm definitely going with Bucks Pacers here. I mean, you're talking about two teams that can fill it up at any given time, right? I mean, we saw the Bucks tonight. They did a pretty good job, I would say, scoring 146 points against the Knicks.
Yeah, could not miss.
Probably much to your chagrin, I would imagine. And then the Pacers, I mean, is there a better story in the league right now than Halliburton?
Great question.
And what he's doing offensively with the Pacers right now. So I think that has all the makings of being a very, very high scoring game.
Halliburton or SGA, first team all NBA for you right now?
Ooh. I'm gonna give SGA the slight edge just because of record.
Yeah. I think that's fair, but the fact that it's even a question is a real feather in Halliburton's cap.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I really like the pick that you just gave out. Like, Pacers overs are crazy this year. I don't know if the Bucks can sustainably shoot the ball like they did tonight. Like, it looked like NBA Jam and then the ball's on fire in their hands. but I'm certainly not taking the other side of a Pacers Bucks game. So I have to take blind under on the Pelicans game versus whoever wins between the Lakers and Suns, and no matter what the line is. So my logic has to hold that the semifinal in Vegas is going to matter even more than the quarterfinals played on the home court. Players tighten up, really feel the spotlight, really feed off the audience and the number of peers that they have in the crowd, and actually give a dang on the defensive side and hold people on the under. I think it'll be really interesting to watch. On the cred side, I made fun of you for going Nets Hawks, but it's not like I'm playing much of a banger here myself. I am going Thunder -2 at -110 against Houston on Wednesday night at Houston. And you heard me talking earlier how I think the Thunder are not that far away from actually winning a title, not just competing, but winning it. +3,500 feels like the best long shot odds along with the Heat. And I absolutely think they will take care of Houston at home. And I know Houston at home is a hot story right now, going at 8-1, but it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, Mark. Like, I don't understand like how they have like a home atmosphere that makes them unbeatable. This isn't like the Garden in 86. Do you know what the get-in price? Yeah, you probably don't. The get-in price tomorrow night for this game, where Houston allegedly has one of the best home court advantages in the league. Guess the lowest price ticket I found on StubHub right before we recorded.
I'm going to say like $20.
$3, Mark Gunnels. $3 is the get-in price at a stadium that Houston allegedly cannot lose in. And now they've got the Thunder, who are 7-2 on the road. Wow. And I just think they are wildly, wildly better. They've also only played a single two-point game this entire year. So I'm not exactly afraid of the -1 or the push. So I'm going to take this down to the -110. I'm just going to look at this and say the better team will play better when the get-in price is $3 in Houston, Texas. Give me the Thunder.
$3 is crazy. Oh, my gosh.
There's a stat for you.
Wow. That is amazing, man. That is truly incredible. So for my cred pick, I'm going to go to the NFL. I feel obligated at this point to have
an NFL pick. Bring it on.
So I'm going to mess with this dirty game in Pittsburgh this Thursday against Bill Belichick, who's on the graphic for the Patriots because they don't know who to put on there, against the Mitch Trubisky Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go with the over.
Okay.
It's at 30 even. I feel like everybody in America is going to do the under on this game. So I have a weird feeling where everybody is zigging. I'm a zag, man. I don't have no analysis for you at all. This is just for me to get my credit, because I'm going to be one of the very few that's taking the over in this game. I think in weird way, the Patriots only scored. They didn't even score last week. They
had 6-0.
Zero. So it can't get any worse. So I'm leaning on that. And then also, I think the defenses in this game will be really good to the point where they set up short fields. That's what I'm banking on. I'm banking on turnovers and short fields that create points. I'm not banking on these quarterbacks driving 70, 80 yards down the field. Give me some turnovers and some short fields, maybe even a punt block, because there's going to be a lot of punts in this game. So I'm banking on weird stuff, man. Just give me the over, and I'm just going to watch it and pray people score.
I'm just sitting here racking my brain and trying to figure out whether I should tail or fail that. Like, what is the actual path to 31 points for these two teams? Because the Patriots defense and the Steelers defense are both, you know, pretty, especially the Steelers side, are excellent units. And you got Zappe and Trubisky trying to score. It's going to have to be defensive scores. Like, it almost has to be. It has to be both sides get a pick six in order to clear that number. And even with that, I'm not sure that they will get there after we saw the Patriots put up zero last week. 6-0 sounds more like a my kind of football game played overseas than a football Americano game. So I can't touch that. I'm just not going to touch either way. I'm not mad at you. I really should fail it and join the public because I'm the squarest man in America, but I'm not going to touch it either way. I am going to mess with your Pacers Bucks over. Because I think the Pacers are going to dictate the pace of that game. I don't think Lillard and Giannis are going to back down. I actually think the Bucks are probably the favorite to hoist the cup at this point. And it's not going to be through their defense. It's going to be through Beasley knocking down threes, Giannis creating space, and Dame time kind of taking over in the fourth. So I could easily see that game in the 250s, 260s, as they really spotlight why we should be watching basketball and not these like Knicks Heat defensive slugfest that, you know, I'm predicting, and the game ends up down in like the 190s. I think this game is going to be a shootout. I want to join you on that side. Which one of mine are you going to tail or fail?
So I'm going to tail your soccer play.
All right, Chelsea. First half goal, baby.
Yeah.
That's a bet on me, right?
That's 100% a bet on my analysis. 100% bet on you, because I'm not going to pretend that I'm a soccer expert. So, but you're the guy. I trust you. I know you put a lot of work in when it comes to this sport. So I feel like that's a comfortable spot for me just to blindly tell you on that one.
Well, thank you, pal. I appreciate the vote of confidence. And it is really fun to be able to talk about midweek soccer, because Brett and I do Covered in Glory about the weekend game. So having a vehicle to be able to get in on this midweek game between Chelsea and United, which is going to be a great one. And I looked at a lot of bets, and that was my favorite one to get down. So you and the audience, as comfortable as you feel, follow that one to your heart's content. Or if you really think I'm on a cold streak, go ahead and fail even the ones I picked the best. All right, so let's go ahead and give our sponsors a little bit of love. Come back with the Second Guess Express, which is actually the bet I can't ever seem to lose. All right, Mark, let's go ahead and get out of here with the Second Guess Express, the one that you researched, and for some reason you didn't put it in your picks while it sits on your betting bench and therefore is guaranteed to hit. You go ahead and lead us off this time around.
Yeah, so I'm going back to the association, and I'm going back to that game that you poo-pooed me for, and that's the Hawks and the Nets. And my Second Guess Express is I should take Trae Young over 10.5 assists. He's cleared this number in his last two games. The guy is arguably the best passer in the league. He's averaging about 11 assists a night, 10.7 to be exact. And it's going to be a close game. I mean, the spread, like I mentioned before, is Hawks -4. So it's going to be a game where I expect them to play heavy minutes well into the fourth quarter. And I think it's going to be a fast-paced game, two young teams going at it. But for some reason, I'm hesitant. I don't know why I'm gun-shy. Maybe it's the jump shooters I'm not too trustworthy on in Atlanta. I'm a little gun-shy there. But all I know is he's going to throw like freaking 10 alley-oops, and it's not even going to matter.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I don't love having two bets on my slip that are diametrically opposed. Like, yes, both of those can hit. Like, he can get 11 dimes and the Nets can cover that line. But the more that he's cooking, obviously not does that lead to direct points, but it creates the kind of space and it gets his teammates involved to the point where they are more likely to win that game than lose. Like, I don't know what the overlap is of him having 11 plus assists and them losing the game or failing to cover, but I bet you it is better than when he is under 11 assists. I would feel pretty confident in that statement.
It's a good point.
I am going back to the Premier League because, as I said, I just love to be able to bet these midweek games here on the show. And I am going with Erling Haaland, anytime goal scorer, at a shocking minus 110. And, Mark, this is the greatest goal scorer, and I mean this. We just did a breakout for it at Covered in Glory. He is the greatest goal scorer we have ever seen in the history of the Premier League. And Aston Villa, the team on the other side, do not keep clean sheets. They do not keep clean sheets. So City is absolutely going to score, particularly because they fell behind 6 points today after Arsenal had a thrilling victory. They are stuck on draws, and they cannot continue to take 1 points. They need to chase three. So I think we're going to see an open game. And in an open game, especially with Rodri out, that means opportunities on both sides. And there's literally no one who's ever laced them up in the Premier League. I'd rather be on the other side of those opportunities than Erling Haaland. He is setting an unbelievable pace for goals. He got held out over the weekend, or he got held scoreless. He didn't get held out. He played all 90. And I just don't see it happening twice in a row. But because it's also going to be an open game, if you don't want to put all your eggs in one player basket, the over 3.5 goals of plus 130 is another good play.
Okay. I like it, man. I like
the nodding and smiling and showing the patience. Hopefully the audience is doing the same thing, but go ahead and head over to that betting window. Take advantage of the things I do know. Mark, did you guys end up taping Lemon Pepper today, or did you guys push that to tomorrow?
We did it today.
Awesome. Did you guys have a good discussion? What were some of the highlights?
Yeah. So we actually talked about the college football playoff at the beginning. I brought that up actually. I wanted Martin's thoughts because if you guys don't know, he's a University of Michigan alum. It was really nice to have his take on it. I teased him about his guys looking like they were scared to play Alabama, and he got really animated about that. They were not scared of nobody. So that was cool. And then we talked about the NFL. Obviously, the main point that I thought was the biggest talking point that we had today probably had to be when we were discussing the whole the NFL playoff picture. As far as like the one seed, I think the Chiefs can still get it, but they failed obviously. And then the Bills, they're playing for their playoff lives, man. And then he mentioned a funny thing too about Nick Sirianni and the guy on the sideline that got into it with Greenlaw. It was like, mm-hmm. That's a direct reflection of their head coach. And I thought, I was like, that's actually not a bad point there.
Well, Martin had a busy day because he also taped extra points with Damashek and Tiana. That one released a day early, so go ahead and check that out. Covered in Glory will be back on Thursday. Waiver wire was today as we head into the fantasy football playoffs. Make sure you're getting all that knowledge that you need to bring home the trophy. And of course, we'll have the -3 15-minute pregame show at the end of the week, as well as the Hench episode and the payoff to yet another contest between myself and Mark to see who brings this home on Friday. Now, if you've heard my picks and after you've seen, at least 2/3 of the results on Monday, you feeling more confident than when you started the week? You think you're taking home the contest this week, Mark?
I actually do feel pretty good, man. I think I got you on the ropes, man. Yeah. I really do.
Well, you're throwing out Nets Hawks game, so I feel like I'm really just having to listen to that. Now I have to care about that game, so damn you for that. All right, everyone, enjoy the semifinals on Thursday night. And I love having it across from the worst Thursday night football game of the year, arguably. So tune into some round ball and get ready for when football is gone. Get a little preview because it definitely ain't going to be anything that resembles football on Amazon on Thursday. So get in early. Watch some Premier League tomorrow. Have some fun with that. And, of course, we have a full night of NBA action as well and all the other great sports. So enjoy all that action, and we will see you on Friday. Take care, everyone.